Good morning. Before we begin this morning, I would like for you to bow with me while we have a word of prayer. Almighty Father in heaven, hallowed be your great and wonderful name. We come before you this day, Father, in a world filled with trouble and strife and lawlessness and worry and fear. And we are a nation that is torn between ideas and philosophies. There is so much discord being sown in the world today that people don't know who or what to believe in. But we know, Father, that you are still in command, and it is in you that we put our faith. We know from your word that all things work to good to those who love the Lord. We ask your guidance to those who led our country to make decisions that are in keeping with your statutes. We ask for your help and your mercy upon those who are affected with the viruses in the world, that you comfort and help those in need. And we thank you, Father, for your word and for the hope that it brings in times like these. We thank you for your Son and for the sacrifice that he gave to save us from our sins and to give us hope to see us through these dark times. Be with us this morning, Father, and we pray that all the things that we say and do here this morning are in accordance with your will. In Christ's name, we humbly pray and ask these things. Amen. Again, good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to see all you here today. We have a good crowd. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today in Kevin's absence. But unlike Kevin, I don't have the technical skills to make a PowerPoint presentation. So we're going to have to go old school this morning and actually use our Bibles as we study. So I encourage you to pick up your Bibles this morning and read along with me as we go through our lesson. You know, because it's what the Bible has to say about things that is important, not so much about what man has to say about things. And, you know, speaking of that, something I keep hearing a lot in the media lately is the phrase, we are to believe in science. You know, well, thank you very much, but I prefer to believe in God and in his word and not in the word of men. And I may have to bite my tongue this morning to keep from talking about the insanity that's going on in our world today, but I hope that we can concentrate on our lesson this morning. Today I would like for us to look at a couple of parables that Jesus has taught. These are very familiar parables to most of us here that we've no doubt heard many times. But you know, like so many things in the Bible, it doesn't matter how many times that you study a subject, there's always something new that you can learn from it. And you know, Jesus was a master storyteller. Firstly, he knew his audience. He knew their thoughts, he knew their weaknesses, and he knew their strong points. And he knows mine and your strong points and our weaknesses too. And he spoke in such a way that those who heard him and really believed and wanted to know the truth, they would find it. And those who didn't believe and didn't want to hear the truth, well, his parables wouldn't make much sense to them. And he would often use this phrase, those who have ears, let them hear. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get into our lesson. You know, a parable is a different kind of way to teach someone something. But Jesus had a reason for teaching in this way, and we're going to look at why he did that. Now, my main parable this morning is going to be in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and that is the parable of the talents. But before we get into that, I would like for us to look at the parable of the sower. And that is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8. And the reason I want to look at that one first is because Jesus explains why he teaches in parables and exactly what a parable is. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 8. Now Jesus had left his house that he was in, and he was sitting by the sea, and a great multitude had gathered around him. And so he got into a boat there while the people were on the beach. And we are told in verse 3, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." You know, there's that odd little saying at the end of that. Was it that there were people back there that didn't have ears? No, that's not what he was saying, was it? But it's like a lot of people today, they don't listen to what God is telling them to do. His word just goes in one ear and out the other. You know, Jesus' apostles came up to Jesus after that, and they said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Well, jump down to verse 11 through 17, and we'll read what Jesus said about that. "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'To you it has been granted to know that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it.'" You know, many people in our world today have that same problem of hearing but not hearing, and seeing and not really seeing. Jesus explains to his followers what this parable meant. Even his apostles didn't understand it at first. And you know, this parable, which is called the parable of the sower, the message of this parable is not about planting your crops or your garden at all. The message of the parable is about teaching God's word and the effect that it has upon people. So in verse 18 there, Jesus explains to the apostles what this parable is about. He says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. And yet he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. You see, Jesus would take a spiritual subject, and he would use familiar worldly things to illustrate the lesson that he wanted to get across to his audience. In this case, he used the act of planting seed, which people back then understood that, to illustrate his lesson on teaching others the gospel and the effect that that gospel would have upon people. Worldly-minded people would just see the worldly aspects of his lesson. But spiritually-minded people would see the real point of the parable. And this, I hope, gets us up to speed about what a parable is and how it is designed to work. But now, let's look at the parable, which is the main subject of my lesson this morning. And this one is found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. And again, this is called the parable of the talents. Let's read it, and then we'll come back and talk about it just a little bit. It's a little bit lengthy reading, but bear with me. In verse 14 of chapter 25, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants," or some versions say slaves, "and entrusted his possessions to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. And immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded them, and he gained 5 more talents. And in the same way, the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and he settled accounts with them. And the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted me with 5 talents, and see, I have gained 5 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joys of your master.'" Pardon me. "The one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you have entrusted to me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joys of your master.' And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I know that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered not or no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave. You know I reap where I did not sow and you gather where I scattered not. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast out the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" You know, this is a story of a man who had gone on a long journey, and he called his servants together and he left them in charge of a sum of money to take care of and to use wisely. Now, in the footnote of my Bible, it says that a talent was worth about $1,000 in that time. But it was worth a lot more in buying power. And it says the man with 5 talents went straight out and he traded his money and he made 5 more. Well, that's pretty good business, isn't it? Double your money. You know, that's pretty good. The man with 2 talents did the same thing. He went and doubled his money. But the man with 1 talent went and buried his talent and he didn't use it. And so the master of the house came back and he settled with those people, and with the one with 5 talents, because he had used his money wisely, he told him, "Enter into the joys of his master." And the same with the 2 talents. The master told him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." But the man with the least responsibility was a serious disappointment to his master. He didn't use the talent that he was responsible for, but he buried it. And so the master took what he had and he gave it to the one with 10 talents. And he was cast into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So you say, well, what does that lesson teach us today? That we are to be good stewards of our money? No. That if we don't become successful financially in life, that we are doomed? Nope, that's not it either. The message of this parable isn't about money at all, is it? You know, God has given each and every person that was born the ability to carry out His commands. You know, God wouldn't give us a command to do something that would be impossible for us to do. It wouldn't make any sense, would it? Every person has at least one talent or one ability to use to carry out God's commands. And you know, some people are given more than one talent or ability. But the point is, it doesn't matter how many talents or abilities we have, it's what we do with what we've been given. But I want to stress something here about talents and abilities. We're talking about the ability to do spiritual work. Not so much talents such as, you know, some people are great painters. It takes talent to do that. Some people are great musicians. You know, it takes talent to do that. Some people are great singers. You know, it takes talent to do that. There's nothing wrong with any of those talents, and we can use all those talents to glorify God for sure. But what we're talking about is the talent that God has given us so that we can carry out what He wants us to do. You know, some people are good song leaders. We have a lot of them here in this congregation. Some are good preachers. Some are good teachers of young people. Some are good with visiting the sick. Some are good at helping the poor and the elderly. You know, and bless their hearts, some people are good at all those things. You know, we need more people like that. You know, but everybody has something that they can do to carry out God's commands. You know, I guess if you could say what is the job of a Christian, it's to teach God's word. Remember our first parable about the sower? That's our job, is to plant the seed. You know, and the thing is, we shouldn't be so concerned, I don't think, with the results of us planting the seed. We just need to plant the seed. You know, sometimes I think we put too much responsibility on ourselves to think that when we go and talk to people about Christ, that we have to, tell them about Christ, and then we have to make them change their way of living and come around to conform to that and all that. No, that's our job is to plant the seed, you know, and that's it. Just plant the seed. We don't cause the seed to grow, you know. We aren't the reason some people repent. It's the seed, God's word, what causes people to repent and what causes people to grow. And we aren't the seed. We're just the sower of the seed. So we need to concentrate on just sowing the seed. You know, but do you know why the man with the one talent didn't use what he had been given? We're told there in the scriptures, aren't we? He said he was afraid. He was afraid. You know, there's a lot of fear in the world right now, isn't there? People are afraid. Have you ever been afraid to do something? You know, most of us have. You know, and fear, a lot of times it is good. Fear will keep you from doing things that could cause you harm. But fear also can be something that's very negative. You know, and there's another term that we could use for that type of fear, and that's called cowardice. Cowardice. And as a matter of fact, you may be surprised to know just how God feels about Christians and cowardice. You know, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, here is what we are told. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and for murderers and the immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And notice here that God puts cowardice right along the side of murder and unbelief and other abominable things. You know, it's a serious matter to deal with. We can't let ourselves be afraid to teach God's word or be afraid to do His will. If we waste the abilities and the gifts and the talents that God has given us, we're told that He'll take those abilities away and give them to somebody else. You know, and to have to stand or kneel, most likely, in front of God on the judgment day, and to say, God, we were afraid to spread your word and to use what you have given to us. We will be treated like that one talent man and be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This has been a short lesson this morning, but I hope that you've gained something from it. You know, if you aren't a Christian this morning, now is a good time to become one. You know, the first thing you have to do is hear God's word, Romans 10 and 17. Second thing we have to do is believe on the Lord and His word. And you know, our science today tells us that the Bible's just a bunch of fables and stories that people are told to make them do right. And again, that's the reason I don't believe in science. I would rather believe in God. We're told to repent of our sins in Luke 13, 3 through 5, to confess Christ as our Savior in front of men, Matthew 10 and 32, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins in Acts 2 and 38. And then in Peter 1, verse 5 through 10, we're told to live faithfully throughout our life. So if there's anything that we can do to help you this morning to become a Christian, won't you please come while we stand and sing the invitation song?